The Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefery.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefery's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefery.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefery, and this is episode number 66. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring experts in the field to talk shop. If you've not already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube, or join our mailing list at ronmckeefery.com so you can stay up to date with the latest episodes and anything else that we have going on. This week, real excited to have Kevin Schultz with us. Kevin is the head strength coach at Wisconsin Lacrosse, a program in the Midwest. It's done some phenomenal things, really does a great job with both their academic program and their, you know, their strength conditioning program and their athletic program. And so, you know, they're the winningest school in Division III athletics. Kevin's been there as an athlete. He was worked in track and strength conditioning at Pittsburgh, and then he's back now as a position coach slash strength coach there at Lacrosse. And so we talk a little bit about how they've been able to develop that program, where the funding and the resources and the vision has come from, and developing young coaches as well. And they've done a great job. That's how we got to know each other. I've had a couple of people that have gone through that program come to me, or as interns or GAs or whatever. And so we get an opportunity to talk about that. And then, you know, he does a really, really good job of thinking outside the box with some things. And so really cool tip about vibration technology that we stole from him here. And there's tons more. So I know you'll get a ton out of it. So, sit back and take some notes there. But before we get going, I want to make sure we recognize our sponsors, EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com. EliteForm is a sports science company based in Nebraska, and we've talked about them quite a bit on the show. But you know, they're paperless, and their power tracker system, as well as their strength planner, like I said, are game changers. And I would highly encourage you, if you've not already done so, to get at least a trial, a free trial of their strength planner. It's a 30-day trial, just to check it out and play with it and see how you could potentially implement that into your program. But for us, it's been really good because, it's saving the time of having to deal with Excel spreadsheets and all those types of things. So I would really encourage you to reach out, not only to tell them thank you for being a part of the show, but to check out their products as well. Lastly, if you enjoy these podcasts, you'll definitely enjoy strength-ondemand.com. Strength-ondemand is a online archive strength conditioning clinic presentations, and we're going through a redesign right now. Should be done soon, but we're going to be adding tons more content and contributing. But it's 50 plus presentations right now that you can watch on your time, anywhere you have an internet connection. And you know, with clinics and cost and all those types of things, it's so difficult to get to things anymore and stay up on your continuing ed. But you know, you can throw these on in the car as you're driving to work, or watch on the plane, or while you're sitting on the bus or whatever. So I would definitely encourage you to check out Strength Dash On Demand. So before enough about that, I want to get to Kevin Schultz and this episode. So sit back and enjoy. Take care. All right, guys. Hey, real excited. I have Kevin Schultz with us. Kevin is the head strength coach of Wisconsin Lacrosse, and is a guy that, you know, we really haven't crossed paths a lot, other than that we've interacted, and I've had several of your interns or GAs, and it's just been a guy that I've heard a ton about, and I'm excited to finally get a chance to talk to you. So appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Great. I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity. Like you said, I don't get out much between being the director of sports performance and coaching football. It's hard to find free time. There's really no dull moments, and I'm not much of a clinic or a convention guy, just because a lot of times you learn one or two things, but you always leave with a hangover. So I prefer to do a lot of self-reading, self-exploration, and that's kind of what keeps me confined to lacrosse a lot.
No, that's, well, it's true, man. And you've done a great job there. But, you know, kind of go into that journey, you know, how you got into the field in the first place, and then, you know, what's led you to lacrosse, you know, in your current position.
Absolutely. You know, I think my MO is like 80% or 90% of the people who watch your shows is we all start out as high school athletes. You know, I fell in love with physical education and college football and all that stuff. And at the point in time when I was getting ready to go to college, lacrosse had one of the best Division III football programs in the nation, coming off three national championships. And then also they had a really good physical education degree. And so that kind of made my easy choice. I came up here, played football for 5 years. That was back when they actually let Division III athletes redshirt. And then my second year into my journey here, I realized there was actually a strength and conditioning concentration, then more or less that there was a profession that I can kind of get myself into. I kind of finished up my schooling, did my student teaching, ended up doing my student teaching down in the Milwaukee Public School District. Had a really eye-opening experience about just where physical education was going.
Sure.
And decided to really kind of redirect my flow to college coaching and strength and conditioning. After that, I went down to Arizona State, spent a semester down there with Joe Ken, learned a lot of great information, interned with Adam Flight also, who's a big contributor to the field and really had an awesome experience. And then at that point, I knew education was first and foremost on my list of things to do, so I came back to UW Lacrosse. I was a grad assistant, strength and conditioning, and got a chance to get a great education and program a lot for different teams. And then one of the unique things is when I was in college, I played football in the falls, and then I coached track and field at a local high school in the springs. And so when I came back for grad school, I was actually offered a position at the university as an assistant track coach working with the throwers. And so it's kind of funny, you know, I think we all say it in this profession, it's not really what you know, it's who you know.
Sure.
And my first year here, which ended up being my last year as a grad student, our head track coach was at the D3 Nationals, ran into some guy that he worked with, and they were looking to hire a full-time strength coach and assistant track coach. And that's what kind of led me out to Pittsburgh for 3 years. Out there, I was the director of strength conditioning, assistant football coach, assistant track coach, and lecturer. And then I had a chance about 4 years ago to simplify my life, just be a strength coach and football coach back here.
Well, you've done that's quite the journey as well.
Yeah. But,
you know, what's cool about that is you found a home in lacrosse, and I talk constantly on the show about, you know, making the big time where you're at, you know, and so here's a program that although it's had tons of success. I mean, it's a Division III program, resources, all that. And you've done a phenomenal job of developing and getting resources and funding and creating a great weight room and all that. Talk about what makes lacrosse unique and how you kind of set that up.
Well, you know, I think the first thing that I like to mention is, you know, if you start looking at, like, premier jobs, there's maybe, like, three or four of them. There's going to be one really good Division I program, one really good Division II, one really good Division III. And the neat thing about lacrosse is with our athletic structure, our academic structure in the community, there's great potential for us to be the best Division III program in the nation. Mm-hmm. And so that's some things that keep me motivated to keep building here. One of the unique parts of our structure here at lacrosse is all of our student athletes actually have to pay a fee to utilize our services. And so each student athlete pays $80 for a tryout fee, and then if they make a roster spot, they pay another $120. And so theoretically, everybody who's rostered on our team, they're paying $200 for a year-long service. And what that does is that goes into funding our positions. So there's myself, I'm the director, I'm an associate director and assistant coach. And like I do football and strength, my associate director does track and field and strength, and my assistant coach does gymnastics and strength. And so all of our salaries, all of our benefits come from that money funded from the student athletes. Mm-hmm. And so to some degree, it's good because if I can bring more student athletes in, if I can get more kids to try out, my budget goes up. But the other thing that's kind of scary is we're held to a different standard as compared to what the other coaches are who are, you know, provided pay and salary and benefits from the state and university.
Right.
And so there's obviously a kind of a change off. And so within our structure, you know, we develop a pot of money from all the students that pay to use our services. And out of that, we actually get a really big budget to be able to do a lot of different things, buying equipment. You know, for us to be a small Division III school, our budget annually is between $25,000 and $30,000, which is pretty decent for for a Division III program.
Sure.
Out of that, we pay some grad assistants, we pay some part time coaches, we pay a yoga instructor, and so we really try to utilize our resources the best possible. I was lucky in the sense when I came in 3 years ago, we actually had a local business owner that donated $160,000 to retrofit our old weight room into making a brand new sports performance center. And so we've been able to really utilize that to enhance recruiting. And as you know, it's all about recruiting. It's about getting good quality kids in that can come in and be impact players. And it makes your life a lot easier as a strength coach to have good kids in there.
Sure. In a situation like that where all the different sports, are contributing to the budget and they're all paying the same amount of money, how do you go about, making sure that the sports that aren't having a sport coach / strength coach with them feel like they're getting all the same attention as football or gymnastics or...
Sure. And I think that's a struggle that all of us deal with. The big thing is, as coaches, we make it important to know all the athletes' names. As strength coaches, we're one of the very few entities within an athletic program that are going to know the whole student-athlete population, that are going to deal with these kids on a daily basis for 12 months out of the year. Where coaches, administrators are going to have different regulations and different priorities. As strength coaches, we understand what's going on in their lives the whole time. And so that's a unique perspective. And then other things, just like you, you're out at football practice. Well, I'm going to basketball practices. I'm going to wrestling practices. Obviously, when I'm out of season, not coaching football. But those are the things that, the coaches expect. And more or less, those are the things that the athletes want to see. They want to see that you're vested in them as a person and as an athlete, not just in the weight room. Because we all know, Ron, they're not weightlifters. They're basketball players. They're wrestlers. And,
sure.
It's fun to watch them do the things they actually want to do instead of squat and do power cleans.
No doubt. Well, you read your bio, and it's the alphabet of certifications, and it's the it's a lot of, just talking with Paul and some of the others, that have been around you. Poliquin Biosignature Certification, Kinesio Taping Association, you're constantly kind of learning outside of the traditional box of strength and conditioning.
Yep.
Where's the motivation for that, and how do you find the time?
Yeah, the motivation really is kind of deep-rooted in my grad experience here. The guy that I worked under, Dennis Klein, who used to be the strength coach here and was a really good throws coach here, he had like 10 national champions in 10 years. So really, really big into the track and field, where my background kind of lies on top of football. Mm-hmm. And as you know, soft tissue is huge within the track and field community. And then, when I was here as a grad student in the state of Wisconsin in 2007 going into 2008, you could do soft tissue work, but you just couldn't charge for it. When I went out to Pennsylvania, I was a director of strength and conditioning and assistant track coach. Well, state of Pennsylvania, they have much different rules. You have to be licensed as a massage therapist. And so for me, that was always a big part of my interaction as a strength coach, is to be able to get an athlete on a table, figure out really what's going on, get my hands on it. Because if there's some kind of restriction, find out what's going on. I had this thrower when I was in grad school here, a really good shot putter. But she, whenever she would squat, she'd get to maybe 45 degrees. Whenever she would kick back to glide, she could never pull her leg underneath her. And for 6 months, I yelled at her hardcore, technique, technique, technique. And then I threw up on a table and I realized her iliacus, her psoas, her rectus femoris, they're just overactive. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I started doing some soft tissue work on it and it fixed everything. I spent 6 months yelling at this girl when all of a sudden I realized that she couldn't do anything about it.
Sure.
And so that ended up being, my main thing is just understanding the connection. And then the other big thing is, I've been at different places where our athletic training staff would be more evidence-based. Ultrasound, e-stim, ice, things like that, where soft tissue isn't necessarily evidence-based. And so for me, I saw that as a huge area or aspect that I could get myself into, integrate into the performance development of our athletes, that I knew our athletic trainers weren't going to do. So it was trying to fill a void at the time.
Sure. As a strength and conditioning coach, we all make mistakes and lessons learned. What's one of the hardest lessons that you've learned as a strength and conditioning coach?
As a young strength coach, I was lucky enough to be the head strength coach right off the bat at 25. And the biggest things they don't teach you in school is all the administrative stuff, how to talk to the athletic director, how to talk to other entities on campus. And, you're a coach, and, we're just a different breed. We're go, 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 and we say what we need to say, and then we're moving on. Where you realize when you're a director, you have to say things the right way. You got to be out in the community doing good things. So some of the hardest lessons I learned is just how to communicate appropriately with different people outside. You know, and to some degree, when budgets are tight, you're trying to do things you need to do. You're squirreling money away. You're doing different things. And then you get caught and you're like, oh, man, now I'm in trouble. Luckily, it's nothing serious, but it's the whole communication aspect. Those are some of the hardest lessons that you'll learn. And it goes across the board from dealing with, athletic administrators to athletic trainers to coaches and athletes. The more transparent you can be, the better off you're going to be. You may lose some of those battles up front,
right,
but you'll win a lot more friends in the end.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, that's, you know, we talk a lot on the show about, you know, being a successful strength coach is being three things. It's being a technician, being able to teach the lifts and do the lifts and all those things. It's being a manager, you know, managing people and resources and time and all, you know, and it's being an entrepreneur, you know, being forward thinking and constantly always striving and learning new things.
Yep.
And, you know, that's where a lot of people fail. You know, they used the example, is for, you know, where I pulled this from is a book called E-Myth Revisited. And it's, use an example of a plumber. Well, a plumber goes out and he's a great plumber, you know, so he decides to open his own business. Well,
yep.
You know, he goes, but now he's got to learn the budgeting and the the staffing and the marketing and, you know, so he fails. And that's the same thing with strength coaches. They don't learn how to be a leader. They don't learn how to communicate. And unfortunately, that's a majority of our job now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you're reading that in outside books. It's not in the CSCS. It's not in any certification you get at how to be a good leader. Those are things that you just learned from life experience. And, you know, as a young strength coach, those are some of the biggest things that are frustration is you have this great education, great credentials, and you get passed up for jobs because of experience. But now that I'm a few years into this profession, you just realize how valuable experience is. And there's only one way to get that, and that's with time.
That's right. Well, you know, along the same lines, then, what's the best piece of advice you've received from a strength coach about the profession?
You know, I think the best advice I got was create. You got to build, you got to grow, you got to adapt to times. You know, I think that's one of the things that we do really well here at La Crosse is, you know, I'm surrounded with a bunch of idea guys. And so, you know, from a period of time from the early 2000s until when we kind of all came in, there's like a stagnation within La Crosse where people are just kind of content with the status quo. We hired a new athletic director, we hired a new football coach, I was brought in, and then the whole world kind of changed around here. And you got to be able to create. You got to be able to look at your limitations and not look at them as limitations, but look at them as, you know, opportunities to grow and kind of break outside the walls that you're kind of confined to.
You know, I think that we're in a similar position with the profession right now. At the same degree. I mean, there's tons of great things happening. Our organizations are doing a great job. And there's many coaches doing a great job, but there's still, you know, there's lots of things that, you know, strength coaches aren't retiring being strength coaches. There's tons of people that want to get in the profession and not enough jobs.
Yep.
You know, where do you see the profession headed and you know, what's some of the vision you have for where you want to take the profession?
Yeah, and, you know, and that becomes a catch-22. You know, to me, what I see in the industry is, you know, we're either trying to align with two entities. Either we're trying to go with, like, the healthcare professionals, get the 9-to-5 and the stable salary, or we're trying to align ourselves with the sport coaches. And that's where you get the big salaries, but you're working a lot. And that's the biggest thing where, you know, a majority of the individuals at the top of the ladder within strength and conditioning, the ones that are politicking with the NCAA, those are the guys that want to align themselves more with the coaches. That, you know, they want those salaries, but then on the flip side, you're going to get those hours. Right. And, you know, in my sense, you know, I have more of a strict educational background. And as an educator, you know, I look to the system that they have set up with, you get licensed, and then if you want to be able to do nutrition, well, then you're going to probably go off and get some kind of like tack-on certification all through academics. But as we know, you know, just because you read it in a book in a classroom, that doesn't mean you're going to be good at it.
That's right.
And so it really is a catch-22. I think within the profession, we're going to be fine. I think people, wherever they're at, they're going to be happy. The ones that want to align themselves with the sport coaching philosophy, they're going to make a lot of money. They're going to work their butts off, and they're going to be happy with it.
Right.
Those that want to really align themselves with the, you know, the healthcare profession, they're going to work less hours. They're going to have the potential to make decent money but not get rich, but they're going to have a little bit better work-life balance. And so it really depends on is, you know, for young strength coaches, really where they foresee themselves going in the future. Unfortunately, you know, I'm one of those guys. I'm a coach. I'm a football coach. I've been a track coach. I look at strength and conditioning as a coaching job. Or, you know, we do things that are more, you know, healthcare related, you know, with the prevention of injuries and soft tissue stuff and nutrition. But still, you know, I want to be a coach. I want to be on the floor. I want to be interacting with athletes and administrators and all that stuff. So that's where my passion lies right now. It may change in 10, 15 years when I get a little bit older and I'm trying to find better work-life balance, but I think that's kind of where we're at as a profession.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think there's a mixture of the both. You know, I think, mm-hmm. you know, I think with opening up, you know, and if we find a way to mandate a strength and conditioning coach at every high school, then all of a sudden you're able to start to get a little bit more of that security type position.
Absolutely.
You know, for aging strength coaches or for, you know, young coaches just getting into the profession.
Yep.
You know? And then, you know, adding like, you know, an associate athletic director in charge of sports performance or things like that, then that gives you a place to go.
Yeah.
You know, and have a little bit more type of admin type of security. But I'm with you. I'm a coach first, and you know, right now especially, I'd like to be making as much money as I possibly be making.
Absolutely.
You look at, you know, offense and defensive coordinators around the country, and they're making quite a bit of money compared to our strength and conditioning coaches who work with every bit as many athletes, if not have more of a direct contact with the athlete.
Absolutely.
You know? So I think it's something that we got to continue to explore, but I appreciate your thoughts on it.
Absolutely.
You know, being at lacrosse, you know, and one of the things, you know, Paul brought in, you know, was, you know, you guys using like car buffers as massage, you know, which I thought was fantastic, you know, but, you know, you're doing lots of different things from a recovery standpoint. What are some of the things that you're doing and how have you been creative with that?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we're lucky to have is have a great community around us. When I came in, there was a guy that works for a chiropractic place, and he wanted to be involved with athletics. So from a recovery standpoint, we get a chiropractor in every Wednesday that does all wellness-related adjustments. Our athletic training staff is fine with it because he doesn't really work on injured athletes. It's our athletes who want to dot the I's and cross the T's. We have a Globe University about 15 minutes away. They have a massage therapy program. Well, they come in, they do their sports massage clinic. I supervise it since I'm a licensed massage therapist. Our athletes get soft tissue work. We have a yoga instructor that our AD used to go to. We brought her on. So the biggest thing, I think, for a lot of Division III programs is just understanding you're coming from a smaller community. And so there's people in that community that are going to support your university and then also the athletics program. So you can reach out to those people. They're willing to give up their time as long as maybe you give them a little bit of promotion, you give them some marketing, but they want to be involved because they're part of the community. The car buffer things, I can't take credit for that. I had two grad students that went up to some clinic up in Minnesota, and they heard Jed Smith talk about it. He's out at UNI, and you know, they stole the idea from him. And I've always heard about the idea of using car buffers for recovery.
Right.
And I wasn't really sold on it until I heard somebody up the chain was doing it, and I'm like, let's go buy some. And really, when you start looking at it, and you start looking at like what car buffers do, you know, typically I buy Sears brand, so I get a, you know, a 1-year warranty, and you know, it's great. And so you're looking at, you know, life expectancy of the equipment, and you know, most car buffers are going to get anywhere from 27 oscillations per or 2700 oscillations per second up to 3500. You look at most industry standard vibration-based tools, you're looking between 25 and 50 hertz. And so it's almost identical. Most, you know, typical vibration massage things are going to cost anywhere from $200 to $2,500. My Sears ones, I just bought 5 of them yesterday. It was like $35 a piece. I get a 1-year warranty on it. Something breaks, I take it in. Life is good. I'm not sending it over to Europe or China. And so, you know, it stays in America, which I think everybody's all about these days. And it's just, it just provides one more aspect of, you know, we're doing something different than everybody else.
Yeah.
Maybe a huge placebo effect that offers to our athletes. But as you know, the placebo effect is way more important than any other effect that we can do because the psychological and hormonal enzymatic cascade that happens with that is way more important than doing, you know, something else.
No, I agree. Well, and we use DMS at Cincinnati, and you know, I tell you, it's one of those things where either athletes love it or hate it, but the ones that love it, they love it. You know,
absolutely.
And finding unique and creative ways, and I think that's the message from, you know, this episode is constantly trying to challenge yourself, regardless of the time. And I know you do that with your reading and your research and things along those lines. Give, you know, we always end these shows with some resources. So give us a quote that you live by or one that's plastered up in the weight room.
The one that I like to live by is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And, you know, that's the Division III mentality. If you think about it, there's very few genetic freaks at the Division III level. And so those guys that work harder are always going to win. And that's the thing that we try to, you know, thrive off of is trying to get our athletes to believe in that mantra. And, you know, the idea is working hard doesn't necessarily always mean doing more sprints, lifting more weight. That's the sports psychology, the sports nutrition, that's the recovery. All that stuff is working hard to get better, but it's not physically taking anything out of your performances from a practice or a competition standpoint.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree 100%. That's one of my favorites as well, to be honest with you. Give us a book, a app, and a website recommendation.
So a book I got, it's called Explosive Ergogenics for Athletes. It's a Rich Brunner book. It's on, if you're looking for a good website, Ultimate, you got it right there, Ultimate Athletes Concepts. Yosef Johnson does an awesome job there.
Yeah,
but I'm
good.
A big nutrition guy, and you know, we actually have a really decent nutrition program here. And so I'm always interested in kind of finding cutting-edge research. And just reading some of the stuff you talked about ergogenics and how what you consume can change the way your DNA replicates and how your mitochondria functions, for me that becomes a huge selling point for our athletes because we do have a strong sports science background. And lately I've been on this whole kick about nutrition and ergogenics, or they also call it epigenetics, in the sense of, you know, what we eat really has a huge impact on how our muscles are being built, our connective tissues being built. And then from a psychological standpoint, the other book I was reading was, what's it called? Nutrient Power. I got to read it on my screen over here. Nutrient Power, Heal Your Biochemistry, Heal Your Brain. And really what it is, it's a great book talking about some more clinical psychological disorders, depression, schizophrenics, I guess like seasonal mood depression, things like that. And how in the majority of these disorders, they're finding vitamin deficiencies and things along those lines. And as you know, we get a lot of athletes that have those depression, anxiety, seasonal disorders. And so they have some better information to go forward with that helps us out as coaches.
No doubt. No doubt. What about when you're surfing the web, where do you go and an app?
Well, typically when I'm surfing the web, I'm looking for some kind of certification to pick up just because
that makes sense.
That's my professional development. I'm really, a big basis and background in track and field. The Canadian Coaching Association for Track and Field, they have a great website, really a lot of podcasts, webinars, different papers out there on strength training, recovery, sports psychology. They do a great job with all those things, and so I really enjoy that website. And then apps, like we were talking about before, I'm not a big app guy. It's tough to find time to be on there, but I'm a big fan of the Omega Wave app. That's something I use with my own training. That's something that we look forward to implementing with our athletes in the near future. It's just trying to find more individualized ways to train our athletes rather than just putting everybody through the cookie-cutter workouts. At Division III level, we're going to have that once in a while, but in season, if we can really monitor stress and fatigue and put them through high-quality workouts, I think that's a good place to be.
No, I agree with you 100%. Well, man, it's exciting to hear about the program, and like I said, I think the takeaway from everything is find a way and make the big time where you're at, and I know you're doing that, so I truly appreciate you coming on the show, man, and thanks for sharing.
Great, Ron. I really appreciate this opportunity to get our product out there and tell Paul I say hello.
I definitely will.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest as well as our sponsors, EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out RonMcKeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @RMcKeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @Ron.McKeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.